Crumple, right?
Yes, sir.
Passed away today, and you would certainly pray for her and her family during this time. Pray for her mom back home there. Take your psalm book. Heritage Heroes. Psalm 115 tonight. My idolatry exposed. Let's see how she does. Mama, you going to Heritage Heroes? Maybe you'll get the quiet prize tonight. I don't think so. Yeah, go, Charlene. Yeah. Thank you for praying, folks. Amen. Psalm 115. Let's stand and give God the honor of reading tonight. Can't wait to get this done because I want to preach Psalm 116. That's one of my favorite psalms. But this is a good one. Don't think it's not. Amen. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, and for thy mercy, and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the works of man's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses they have, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not, neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in him. Won't you just... Now he's saying they have eyes that cannot see, ears that cannot hear, you know, tongues that cannot speak. And he's literally saying they're just made by hands, and they're dumb. He says... You know, these people that make them, no difference in their idol. It's a wonderful satire there. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusts them. O Israel, trust on the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He hath blessed us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord for this time forth and forevermore. Praise ye the Lord. You may be seated. Father, I pray tonight that you would give us wisdom, Lord, as we look in the Word of God. Holy Spirit, you who wrote this and put this on the hearts of the prophets and the kings to write the Scriptures, I pray tonight that you would just enlighten us, Lord, that you would open up our minds to see what you, Holy Spirit, want us to see, that we may glorify our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are God, a living, powerful, magnificent God. You need nothing from anyone. You are the one that gives. Everything that we have is from you. Dear God, we don't have to carve it out. you are there. You have always been there. We don't have to make it to look like something. Lord, we trust you and praise you for who you are in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you go with me back to Nepal for a moment and go down to Dubar Square? Some of you wonderful missionary kids understand what I'm talking about. You remember that first place you come, there's that great big hideous God there that says if you tell a lie in front of it, you will bleed right out. Remember that first one you come into? And it's ugly. I mean, it's got hands and feet, and there's an elephant there, and there's a person's head, and it's the craziest thing you've ever seen. I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad that I serve a living God. I'm sure glad that I don't serve, the Hindus, they have over 1.5 million gods. Good night, I can't even remember my grandkids' name. The other day, Will was doing something, I hollered at John. He knew who I was hollering at, amen. But, I can't even remember their names, amen. I told Brother Jim today. I said, isn't it amazing that God knows the number of the stars and calls them all, A-L-L, all by name. We have a marvelous, magnificent, wonderful God that we can serve. Amen. Isn't it funny that if you read the scriptures, even the psalmist says a man will take a piece of wood and take that wood and carve it and make a god out of it. And then he'll take that same wood that he carved out and light a fire, and it'll heat his lunch, amen. And they're burning God, amen. Right? And it's incredible how stupid they are, how ignorant they are to serve someone who... I'm glad I serve a powerful, risen Savior, amen. I'm glad I have one that loves me and cares for me. When I was in Nepal a couple years ago, I preached a message, and I said, As a Christian, you have God's power upon your life. And when you die someday, God said, I promise to raise you from the dead. Amen. I promise to give you resurrection. And I said, why? Because our Savior liveth. Our Savior is alive and he's well. And he has the dunamis power to raise us from the grave. Amen. And I said, but you know what? The Savior of the Hindus... And the Savior of the Buddhist, their leader is dead. How can a dead Savior save you? He can't. He can't even help himself. In fact, in the writings of Buddha, they says that his followers were asking him at his deathbed. He says, "What shall we do?" And he said, "You got to find it yourself. You got to find your own nirvana." How sad. Jesus says, hey, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you that when I am there, ye may be also. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. You ought to shout glory, hallelujah about that. Man, you ought to be so tickled and so excited to know that this is not the end. You're not a dog that goes and lays down and dies and everybody forgets about it. You are a live human soul and spirit that God is going to, you're going to go with God. What a blessing. Amen. Well, the psalmist here, this is really a companion to the Hebrew songbook. And tradition is sung on their annual Passover in Israel. And we're not sure who wrote it. Well, I'm definitely not sure, but a lot of scholars say they're not sure who wrote it. And you can glance at the contrast of idolatry worship and then the worship of God. What a difference. What a difference. And how they call, praise ye the Lord. He said, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now God? Where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And so we see some things that are going on in life and folly and things that are just hard to understand by people. They just don't get it, do they? They don't understand the Word of God. Well, this psalm is given to us. It talks about how the forthcoming confrontation with us, his foes, and how that we're not even to have to fight. He has put bands of singers and Levites in the forefront of battle, and they're to march ahead of the troops. Spearheads march forward, and the armed men are marched behind. What a sight it must have been when they came up. Remember Jericho? They came up, everybody, they were singing. Hezekiah had them. They went out singing, amen. Don't worry about it, just go singing. That was pretty important singing, isn't it? Amen. So, see that they're singing. Now I want you to go to the scripture here in four. Their idols are silver and gold. And I just want you to read that next. The work of man. Where did God come from? You ever wondered about that? Where did God come from? Well, according to the scriptures, God has always been. It's phenomenal. Hard to explain. Where did your God come from? It's always been. You say, where do you get that? Well, what did God, the children of Israel say, well, what should we call it? What should we say? Who said it? He said, you tell them I am sent you. Remember that? I am. Well, who is he? He said, I am. Well, who's going to do it? He said, I am. Just on and on and on. The I ams of God. Amen. That's a great name for God. I am. And he said, he goes on. He said, there's silver and there's gold. And where's the man's hat? You look at this magnificent universe and all the things that God gives you. It's an incredible thing. I mean, from the huge stuff. I mean, the outer space stuff. I don't know if it'd be outer space, but I guess it's out there, way out in space. And the incredible things you see. You ought to go on the internet and look up the Hubble telescope. And they got some magnificent, magnificent bursts of stars that are some they call them rascals. They take all they're leaving them here. I'll think of it in a second. No. We're in the spiral nebula. That's the Milky Way. But these are stars that they thought for years were coming at us. They're not coming at us. They're taking off that way. They're called... I'll think of it. And this is an incredible thing. And the things that they picked up on the Hubble telescope after it left Mars and it was out in space and all of a sudden they were taking pictures of the black hole that when we were in school we called it the black hole. And they say there's over 100 constellations in the black hole that are so far out we can't even hardly register them. And then they got that Hubble telescope and saw that, no, it just keeps on. And remember, the stars were made for God. And so every time we look up the stars, we get to look up at God's handiwork that he made for himself. An incredible thing, amen. So, it's a pretty minute thing when a man takes a piece of gold and takes a piece of silver and takes a piece of wood and carves something out real pretty. I have not seen a pretty God yet. They're pretty much all ugly and all distorted. Something's, they got big noses on them or they got big ears, they got a big belly, Some of you ever went over to some of these places, folks would rub Buddha's belly to get good luck, amen, and all that kind of stuff. It's an incredible thing. I thank God I serve a risen Savior. I thank God that we live with a Bible that we can read the scriptures and tell us who God really is, amen. God never explains himself. Why? Because he's always there. But we read about his attributes. We read about he's omnipresent. That means he's all place, all times. While I was in South Carolina Sunday night preaching in Mount Sinai Baptist Church, you were here. Listen, Brother Home preached to you, and God was in both places. Explain that one. You said, well, I can't. That's right. There are a lot of things you can't explain about God. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He knows everything. He knows everything about you. He knew this morning when you got up or when you didn't get up. He knew when you hit that snooze alarm. Oh man, I sure want to hit that thing today. Now, he knew what you had to eat today and what you did not have to eat today. He knew at school how that you could have cheated and you didn't, or you did cheat and nobody knew, but God knew. God knew. He knew when you read the Bible this morning, or when you didn't read your Bible this morning, when you didn't pray and you didn't thank God, and you didn't tell your wife you loved her, and you didn't tell your husband you loved him, and you didn't let the kids leave with a sweet spirit in their heart. You put them down tonight, and when you don't put them down with a sweet spirit tonight, they'll know it. God knows it. Well, then nobody else in this world knows it. God knows it. Amen. The Bible says they have mouths and they speak not, the eyes they have, they see not, they have ears, but they hear not, noses they have, and smell not, they have hands that handle not, feet they have, and walk not, neither speak they to their throat. So verse 8 now we see the folly of the idolatry. They that make them are like unto them. What a folly. So is everyone that trusts it. Idolatry has a fearful hold on the minds, the hearts of millions of people. They are so afraid. I remember a missionary from Africa telling about how that the families of this one village were dying of starvation. But every morning they'd get up and cut a chicken head off and bleed that chicken out and then put it out in the woods, out in the jungles. Family is dying, but boy, they were afraid if they didn't do that and appease their God, somebody in their family would die or something really bad would happen to them. How sad. How sad. We serve a living God. He said, hey, I want you to pray, disciples. Give us this day our daily bread. Amen. Huh? He said, hey, I want you to know I love you, and I'm going to show that I love you. I'm going to take care of you. Amen. But for most gods, they are takers and not givers. All good gifts and every perfect gift come from the Father above, the Bible says. So we serve a wonderful God. Amen. Some of the world's fiercest wars have been fought in defense of idols. The Jews had just been liberated from Babylon, a land of idolatry, reigned supreme over their lives and the destinies of a vast empire. They themselves had been afflicted by some very strange god that had driven from their hearts to Babylon. They say that Babylon was the heartland of idolatry. The heartland of idolatry. I want you to look at the appeal now. The heathen appraised Israel's God as helpless. The psalmist responds to the scathing response of stupidity of idolatry. Then he turns his attention to those who know and love the living God. Look here, verse 9. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. Hey, can I say this tonight? Hey, Heritage, trust thou in the Lord. There's going to be some things that are coming in your life that you are just going to be shaken to the bottom of your soul. Hey, may I encourage you? You trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Oh, Israel, trust in the Lord. Boy, He is our help and our shield. There are sudden changes in imperative is usually explained for the commentators making a change of the voice when it's sung. And the psalm, it seems, was composed for liturgical use, various parts being sung by a Levitical choir, by the choir master, and by people. Thus the word, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord, might have been sung by the choir. He is their help and their shield, might have been an echo from the Levitical choir. Both parts focus their attention on what? The faithfulness of God. I'm telling you tonight that God is faithful. in every place and everywhere you go. He is faithful. His ability to hear, His ability to answer. That was the psalmist's appeal. Hey, He can hear and He can also answer. I'm glad about that. Man, there's a lot of things going on in our life. Isn't there a lot of things going on in your life that you just don't know which way it goes? Say, God, hey, I need some help. I need some help. I just need some help. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know who to go to. I just need some help. And it seems like God always, not seems like it does, God always brings someone there to help you. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're with, God is with you. Then I want you to see the constituted priest here. Again, we recognize the call, the response of the choir master, the choir to take their part. O house of Aaron. That's called to the priest. Aaron was the priesthood. He said, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. If people must trust in the Lord, how much more should a preacher trust in the Lord? We're to be the trailblazer. We're to be the one that's supposed to be out there and trust in God. Everybody said, oh, Pastor, I feel so sorry for the things you're going through. What am I going through? You tell me what? I look around, I see so many other people having so many problems and so many heartaches. And I say, hey, it's okay. Don't tell me how bad I got it, okay? Because I got it good. Church full of people, and people that come and help me, and people are such a blessing to me, and I got friends and man, neighbors, and boy, praise the Lord. I don't want it really bad. Okay? You know, the Bible says, you know, I don't want it so bad that I have to go steal. And I don't want it so good that I have to, that I'd forget God. So God puts these trials and these testings in our lives, not to hurt us, but to build us up and make us stronger. Today I was able to minister to Jim because of the things I'd gone through 3 years ago. I would have probably came in 10 minutes, did my duty and took off and went to something else. But today I sat there for 3.5 hours with a man who was scared to death. You get on that table, they're talking about doing something with your heart. You're scared. Yes, you are. I think of your dad. I think of people, my wife, some of you folks have been through this heart business. Morning, you're scared to death. Oh, he said he's tough. No, he's not. He's scared to death. When you have a man put his hand out and said, preacher, I want you to take care of my wife because I've got a bad feeling about this thing. And I just sat down in my chair today. And he said this. He said, poor preacher, he said, it just seemed like you just feel that you were relaxed and you were, yeah, buddy, that's what I wanted to do. I read scripture and prayed to him and we talked about funny things. Mary Hart was good like a medicine, amen. And that nurse comes in and drops a bomb. Yeah, we just have one that cold. Did you hear it? Cold? No. Get out of here. Shoo. Took me another 30 minutes to get him calmed down and get it, amen. That's why if you become a doctor, one thing you got to get out of your vocabulary. Whoops. Or, oh no. You can't say that, amen. And they have, by the way, they have a great staff up there. They really do. But I think she just thought, because we were in there giggling laughing, and thought she just thought, come in and be funny. Was it? Then I want you to see here, verse 11. This is the converted pagan. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. For the third time in the choir master and the choir takes up this respective parts. Thus the whole family of faith, even the newest converts, the God-fearers among the Gentiles. And by the way, there were God-fearers among the Gentiles. Remember a little girl named Rahab? She feared God. We know what's going to happen to us. And there's people out there that you don't know. They're born again. They have faith. They might not understand a lot of stuff, but they've trusted Christ. They have faith in Him, amen. go on. There are no difference between a person brought up in a believing home, the full-time minister, the missionary, or the untaught convert. Listen to me. One and all that trust in the Lord and prove Him for themselves to be their help and their shield. You may have just received Jesus Christ as personal Savior. You have just as much call to God as I do. You have just as much power with God as I do. You don't ever forget that. I'm your pastor because God put me here to lead you. But you got just as much power as I do. The other day my grandson, we were watching Corey play volleyball, play soccer, and all of a sudden the boys were gone. And Corey said, "Hey, where's the guys?" I said, "I don't know, I was watching you." I guess I was supposed to be watching the boys, but I got so intense watching that. Boy, old Corey, he's 41. He's still, boy, I mean, he got to get up and go, man. He can kick her in the ribs and go. I mean, and all of a sudden, so I went, and that means at my house, you run. No matter where you are, who you're talking to, you just run. All of a sudden, here come the boys. And Corey said, "Where you guys been?" "Well," he says, "Papa, I was there. Well, Papa, we led this kid to the Lord. He needed to ask Jesus in his heart." And Will's 12 and John's 11. They're out there doing their little evangelistic work. Amen. Scared as a dead, didn't know where they were. But boy, when they came, boogada boogada, fell mail down the hill, man, here they come running. Said, "Well, we led him to the Lord. He was scared. He wanted to know about Jesus." Amen. And boy, what a blessing. Hey, you know what? If a child can do that, you can do that. You just got to find a way of doing it. Find a way that opens up, amen. And then I want to give you an application here, verses 12. My goodness, time is over. I'm going to get it. Assurance of the blessing, verses 12 and 13. "The Lord hath mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel." Look at this assessment of blessing, verse 14. "The Lord shall increase you more and more and your children." We are blessed by the Lord that made heaven and earth. If you're brokenhearted because one of your children is far from God and dead in trespass and wandering the far country with a heart set against God, take courage and hold of this verse. Know its conduct. Trust in the Lord. Remember who it is who makes the pledge. The Lord who made heaven and earth. Is any situation too hard for God? And our answer is no. Of course not. And He can fling billions of stars and billions of light years into space and control destiny for each one of us. Surely He can increase you more and more and your children. Aren't you glad about that? He's a great and magnificent God. I got a quick good night. Makes me so mad. I have something to tell you. Heavenly Father, I pray you speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to live for you. We love you, and we thank you so much for who you are. Lord, don't let us give up. Don't let us give up on those who need you so bad. And Lord, help us, Lord, to keep trusting in you. Lord, if there be anyone here tonight not sure they're saved, and they've been trusting these idols that are made with hands, dear God, tonight I pray that they invite you. If you're here tonight and you're not sure you're saved, why don't you right there bow your head before a holy, magnificent God who flung those millions and millions of stars in the universe and billions of light years away. And He says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Isn't that incredible? That just amazes me. If you're here tonight and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved," would you pray this prayer with me? Say, "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right now." You're here tonight and you said, "Preacher, I prayed that prayer tonight. Would you remember me in prayer tonight? Would you just lift your hand? Father, we love you, and we thank you for all you give to us, Lord. Please, I beg you tonight, you'd speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.